Psalm chapter 127. If you'll stand in reverence to the Word of God, if you're able, I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture. No, I'm not. I'm going to read all three. Starting in verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You can be seated. Pray with us. Father, thank you this morning for our precious mothers. Thank you for the day that set aside years ago in the early 1900s, Lord. I believe it was 1914 when there was a day set aside to honor mothers. And Lord, we pray this morning, God, that you would not only help us to honor our mothers, but to honor our Savior. And Lord, I pray today that you would just take control of the service and help us in a mighty way. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. On Mother's Day, I don't mind at all. I don't apologize for taking time to ask God to give me something concerning mothers. It's an institution. Without a mother, we wouldn't be here. Amen. And for some, I realize this morning, motherhood is an accident. And it's not always a welcome one. I'm just being honest with you. For some, biological motherhood isn't possible. I'm reminded that, you know, as Christmas comes around, sometimes it's a joyous occasion for many. And yet for many, the hearts are heavy because of things that have happened. For some, they had a mother that wasn't all that nice. And for others, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still less than a bed of roses. I read those things as I prepared to preach, but I added something. Here's what I added. For others, motherhood is deemed to be a gift from God Almighty, a responsibility that is gladly borne with the hope that one day their child will be saved, and someday mom will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful mother." Amen. To become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is. I used to tell the men in prison, I know this is not Father's Day, but I told them often, anybody can lay down with a woman and get her pregnant, but it takes a real man to be a daddy. It takes a real woman to be a mommy. Amen. And I appreciate our mothers. I really do. I read this. I thought it was interesting. No one deserves a special day all to herself more than today's mom. A cartoon showed a psychologist talking to his patient. "Let's see," he said. "You spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% on your husband, and 50% on your children." He said, "I think I see the problem." You'll get that after a while. The mothers already did. Amen. I want to look at a mother's joy today. A mother's joy. And I got to plow on because if I don't, we'll be here half the afternoon. And some have already got dinner cooking. Amen. I want to look, first of all, at the joy in their beginning. The beginning of motherhood. And the beginning when that child, they're talking about that child's beginning. I want you to think about something. It dawned on me, and then I went to the Scripture to see if it was so, and sure enough, it was. The first one to experience joy when it's concerning a child is not the mother. It's our Heavenly Father. You say, "Pastor, how can you say that?" Well, here's what the Bible said, Jeremiah 1:4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before Brother Jason and Sister Abby ever knew that there was a James on the way, before he was ever conceived, God knew that there was a little James coming into the world. Ain't that wonderful? You say, Pastor, surely you don't believe that. Surely I do. My God knows the end from the beginning. Say amen. And I think about my life, and God knew before the foundation of the world when mom and dad would get married, when mom and dad would conceive, when my mom would conceive and they would come together in love and a little boy would be conceived. God knew when that little boy would be born. If you want to know my birthday, just remember the last day of the 50s. One more day and I'd have been a 60s baby. Amen. My dad was working for 10 cents an hour on the farm, 10-hour days for a dollar a day. And I believe he got up on top of mama and said, come out of there, boy, I need a tax break. On the last day of 1959. Amen. I think about, beloved, my childhood. God knew. I think about the teenage years and the sinful things I got involved in. I think about Mary and Miss Eve. God knew. Then I think about God knowing before our first child ever come into the world. God knew her. Amen. And I believe that is true. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord. First, the Father, our Heavenly Father. Then the mother. Mom begins to notice some changes in her body. Then one day, I wrote this down. That little baby starts practicing for the soccer field. He said, what's the matter with you, preacher? Oh, I felt it. Boom, boom. He's kicking. Amen. And he's wanting out of there. Amen. Or she's wanting out of there. So mother begins to experience that joy, the changes in her body. The little boy, the little girl's practicing for the soccer field, kicking in mama's womb. Amen. There's joy in their beginning. I saw a video last week, and I won't go into it a lot, but there was a man, and I hope it was his wife. They were preaching. They were fishing. And anyway, she saw a little buoy floating out there. And she went over, she starts pulling it up, and it's real heavy. And anyway, maybe you saw the video. But anyway, I thought it was interesting. And she acts like it gets too heavy for her, so she gets him to pull it up, pulls it up, and there's this box, this aluminum box, and it's duct taped shut. And so he's getting a knife and he's cutting the duct tape, all that off of it. And what comes to find, he comes to find out that on the inside, there's a pregnancy test that's positive. Amen. And then he finds out it's theirs. So what's he do? He dives in the lake and swims away from the boat. Amen. Not mama. Mama will stay with the boat. Say amen. Amen. Joy in their beginning. And then there's joy in their birth. The Bible said in John 16, a woman when she is in travail has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man was born into the world. I want to say this morning. I went in. First two children, I wasn't saved. I didn't go in with my wife when she delivered them. I thought it was the manly thing to do. Just find out what kind of cigars you got to buy. Amen. Walk around in the hall and act nervous. But I tell you, God saved me when I was 27 years old. And I went in with my wife to deliver a charity first and then Elizabeth, my baby daughter. And I'm telling you, the miracle of all miracles. I stood there and I wept as they come into the world, realizing what a blessing that children are a heritage of the Lord. They had all their little fingers. They had all their toes, had all their limbs. I watched a little girl at a graduation on a Friday, and her foot's turned in, way in. And yet I wondered how she would get along with the other kids. And when the graduation was all over, she was running around that gym just like the other kids and playing. But I'm telling you, beloved, there's nothing like the joy in their birth. And I'm going to stop and say something this morning. I'm going to plug this in. When they're born, there's one of two things said. It's a boy or it's a girl. We're living in a society today, beloved, that's trying to change God's plan for mankind. But it's still a boy, or it's still a girl. I dealt with a young man at Cedarview Christian School the last chapel service. I guess that would have been last Monday. I dealt with that young man about salvation and another young man as well. And that young man, he's in the fifth grade. Here's what he told me. He said, my sister is in preschool. Listen, outside of Cedarview Christian School now. He said, my sister is in preschool and her teacher told her she could be a boy. Now you listen, you can get mad at me if you want to. But a lot of this mess is coming from the adults. Or they ought to be adults anyway. Say amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, there's joy at their birth. But then there comes another time as they grow up and they mature. There's joy in those blessings. The Bible said in verse number 4 of 3 John, it said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And when that mother begins to watch her child develop and begins to see the things that, the talents that God has given them, to see the work ethic that they have, then, beloved, it's a blessing to them. I might be wrong, but I thought about this. I wonder, Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, we know that God was his father, but Joseph was a carpenter. And I just wonder if Mary ever stuck her head in the shop door and said, son, what are you doing? And I wonder if he ever turned around and said, look, Mom, what I made. I'll tell you this, whatever it was, Brother Jason, it was perfect. Say amen. In the business of building things, they say, Brother John, measure twice and cut once. I don't believe Jesus ever had to measure twice. I believe he measured it right the first time, cut it right the first time, put it together right the first time. You say you're crazy. No, I'm just telling you, beloved, he was the perfect Son of God. And I believe whatever he did, it just brought joy to Mary's heart. Children are meant to be a blessing, not a burden. They're meant to be a blessing. And God wants them to be a blessing. I was out on visitation, Miss Eve and I, on Thursday night, and we came by a young couple's house. I was going to name their names, but I won't do that. But that little baby, I saw Mom. What had happened, Dad was riding that little baby on the lawnmower. And now, probably not like me, probably not while he was mowing, just riding around. My little granddaughter, Ava, she said, Papa, will you ride me on the mower? She likes to drive it. Amen. I mean, I give her the steering wheel, and we get headed towards the fence. She'll say, Papa, Papa, Papa. I say, turn a wheel, turn a wheel, turn a wheel. Amen. And many times I've told her that I would let her drive it. And then I've already forgotten. I've put the mower up, and here she comes. Guess what Papa has to do? He has to get the mower out. He has to ride her around the yard. And then guess who else wants to go? Her sister. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, it's a joy to watch them grow up. Amen. It's a joy, the joy in that blessing, beloved, of watching them. And then, thank God, I love this. God, let me see this. Because I'm already praying this for our Bible Way babies. The joy of a mother's heart in their believing. When they come to that age, I tell you today, listen to me. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. There's no joy like seeing your youngin' that you brought into this world saved by the grace of God. There's no joy like knowing, there goes my youngin'. My youngin's not going to the preacher. My youngin's not going to the church. My youngin's going to Jesus. Because they've been trained. But that's what they needed, amen. They needed to be born from above, to be born again. And there's joy in their believing. I was thinking about a Bible example of a mother that got to see her child believe. And here's what I came up with, Brother Dale. You got Adam and Who? Okay. Nobody said Steve, right? You got Adam and you got Eve. And they had two boys. They were Cain. You say, how do you know that Eve got to see a little boy that believed? Let me tell you something, honey. You know what she done? She saw Cain. She saw him bring the fruit of the ground. She saw God reject that. But she had another son. By the way, beloved, if we're not careful, we could have 100 children, 99 of them doing right, and one of them doing wrong, and the one that's doing wrong will consume our whole life. But Eve also got to see Abel. What did the Bible say in the book of Hebrews? He brought of the firstling of the flock. You know what she's seeing? There's a boy that believes what we taught him. There's a boy that believes what God taught us. That sin requires a blood sacrifice. So he didn't bring the vegetables. He brought the lamb. And he shed the lamb's blood. And what joy it brings to a mother's heart to understand and know that their child has put their trust not in mommy, not in daddy, not in preacher, but in Jesus. There's no greater joy in the world than to know that your child has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I read this. I'll share it with you. This man is named John Killinger. He said, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the loving God, who was born of the promise of a virgin named Mary. He said, I believe in the love Mary gave her son that caused her to follow him in his ministry and to stand by his cross as he died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a dark reflection of all that we can expect of Him, both in this life and the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow through her to her child, blessing the world with tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. Nothing in the world to take the place of a godly mother. Amen. And so there's joy in the mother's beginning with their children. And there's joy in their birth. There's joy in their believing. There's joy in their blessings. The Bible said, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I think sometimes mother needs help with gentleness. Have you ever seen a mother like Martha? I'm not talking about this Martha. Have you ever seen a mother, just overwhelmed, so much to do, and so little time to do it in? Listen to this. This will help you. This will help you with gentleness. The Bible said that it shall gently lead those that are with young. God is gently leading that mother that she might gently lead her children. He said, reduce your social obligations or increase them if you have cabin fever. Take a break from meetings, committees, and volunteering. Simplify the meals that you make. Make them basic and healthy and nutritious. Settle for tidy rather than ultra clean. You ever known a mother that was OCD? Amen. You know what are you talking about? I'm talking about it takes away from the children that thing that's going to burn one of these days called a house. Amen. And we need to make sure, beloved, that we have time. Make it a high priority to get your rest, Mom. Stop to enjoy the pregnancy. Be still and feel that baby moving around. Sing and pray over your child. Take time to get on the floor with your toddler with no other agenda than the sheer joy of it. I figured something out when I read that. That's why grandparents are the way they are. Because most of us didn't learn till we was older the sheer joy of rolling around in the floor with the babies. We were too busy trying to make a living, had 10,000 things on our mind. Somebody say amen. Amen. And beloved, we let the blessings go right past us. Amen. I can hear it now. Papaw, what a swing me. I mean to tell you, if that was my children, I've got weed eating to do. This grass has got to be mowed. My oil's got to be changed. The house has got to be washed. Papaw, swing me. Is that good? No, Papaw. How's that? No, Papaw. Higher. You turn them loose. You say, what in the world's the matter with you, preacher? I'm sorry, Brother Wayne, it took me so long to learn how much it means to them just to take a little bit of time. Amen. Amen. Brother Rick, I'm glad you didn't have to wait for grandchildren to learn what it meant to a little boy to throw the ball in the backyard. Amen. Most of us, beloved, made some bad mistakes in our child, in raising our children. Say amen. A lot of it was because of the pressure we were under at work, the pressure we were under in the world, the pressure we were under in the home. But God's saying this morning, Mom, take time. Take time. Don't make the mistakes. The sheer joy of it. Meditate on the scripture verses that quietly turn your heart toward God. So if you're feeling pushed around or pulled apart, then maybe, quite possibly, it's because God's not leading you. Think about that. Mary, Martha said, "Carest thou not? Lord, don't you care? I'm cumbered about with much serving." Mary, she just sitting in there. Looked like Mary was doing nothing, but you know what Mary was doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? Mary's chosen the good part. Amen. And he said something else. I'm not taking it away from her. I really believe the good part of motherhood is there with the Lord, realizing that children are heritage of the Lord. I'll give you this and I'm finished. Not only is there joy in their beginning and in their birth and in their believing, in their blessing, but there's going to be joy in the beauties of heaven. I don't know of a way. If you know of a way, you tell me. I don't know of a way that a mom can be a mom without experiencing some disappointments in this life. There are going to be some along the way. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to a place, Mom, where there'll be no disappointments. Our heart will never break again. Joy in the beauties of heaven. There's heartache. There are those that would like to have a baby and can't have a baby. There are those that lose a baby. But I want to remind you of what David said. David said, "I can't bring him back, but I can go be with him." I know it hurts. I don't know the hurt of it, but it's bound to hurt because it's backwards of nature. Mom and dad's supposed to leave first. It's just completely backwards of nature. But I know this. We're going to a place where we'll never hurt again. We're going to a place, beloved, a place called heaven. There's no disappointments there. The Bible said, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." I want to ask you today, Mom. I want to ask you. If you don't have any joy, there could be several reasons, but one of them could be You've never met the joy giver. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. I'd love to be able to just dump back a dump truck up the Bible Way, have all the mothers come by and just raise the bed and dump joy on every mother. That'd be wonderful. I can't do that. I cannot be the source of joy. The Savior must be the source of joy this morning. I believe with all of my heart, if you're here today and you say, well, Pastor, I'm not a mother. Everybody's the child of a mother. And I want to tell you this day, nothing in this world would tickle your mom. Nothing in this world would please your Savior if you just get out of that seat this morning and say, Mom, you've taught me right. You didn't point me to Dad. You didn't point me to yourself. You didn't point me to Pastor. You've pointed me to Jesus. And nothing in this world would bring joy. Abby, I'd say there's times when you just dream, honey. Sister Kim, the morning Maggie came down that aisle, I don't know what you saw back there, but I remember the look on her face as she came down that aisle. Mom was watching her go. I don't know what Mom knew. I know this. Mom had been praying. And God answered Mom's prayer. And I know this. If you have a godly mama, you ought to jump straight up and down and thank God. If you have a godly grandma, you ought to jump straight up and down and thank God. Lady on a plane years ago, I was going to Mexico. Her name was Jessica. I got to dealing with Jessica on the plane, showed her a picture of my family, wanted to set her at ease, told her that there were 6 men from my church sitting right behind us. I wasn't trying to do anything talking to her that wasn't right. I just wanted to see if she knew Jesus. And I tell you, it wasn't just a few minutes of gospel presentation. There's tears going everywhere, makeup going everywhere. There we were flying from Atlanta to San Antonio. She couldn't get away from me. And she had a little girl. Really, it wasn't a little girl. It was a little brat. Can you spell that with all caps? B-R-A-T. That little brat just kept trying to interrupt, kept trying to interrupt. And I finally just said, Jessica, whatever she needs. So Jessica got up, took her to the bathroom. They were gone forever. I mean forever. I thought to myself, that little girl's bladder must be as big as a tank on this plane holding gas. Amen. Anyway, here she come back. She had all of her makeup fixed up. Everything dried up. She was real, real, just right back to where she was when we started. She sat down and I said, Jessica, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, did you ever stop to think how much God would love you if you'd just stop doing some of the things that you know you're doing that's not right and start doing some of the things that you know is right? She nodded her head up and down. And I said, Jessica, look at me. She looked at me. And I'm going to tell you what I told Jessica, and I'll tell you this morning. I said, Jessica, God will never love you 1 ounce more than He does right now. He's not waiting on you to do anything, honey. He loves you. Here come the makeup again. Amen. You ought to wear waterproof makeup if you're going to sit next to a preacher on a plane. Amen. Just a little while. Brother Junior, you remember the song, I can tell you now the time, I can take you to the place. She can't do that. She could tell you the time, but it was 14,000 feet somewhere between Atlanta and San Antonio. She said yes to the Lamb of God. You say, Pastor, why did you tell all that? When we got to the airport, you know what we found? two things, a godly aunt and a godly grandmother. They had both been praying for Jessica. I like what you said, Brother Jason, you shared with me yesterday. This don't happen. You see, I'm the one that got to somebody sowed, somebody watered, somebody prayed. I came along and got to reap where somebody else. That's the way the Christian work goes. Amen. But I want you to know this. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, the greatest joy that you could bring to your mom would be to swallow your pride. Your family, swallow your pride. Make a step of faith. Say, Lord, it's never been right. Here I come. I'm coming to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, this morning for our precious mothers. And Lord, it's my prayer this morning that someone would realize the joy that it would bring to their mom, but more than that, the joy that it would bring to the heart of the Savior if they would just come and trust you. Lord, I know you're bound to be dealing with someone's heart. Lord, I pray for that mother that's just overwhelmed in her motherhood. God, I pray, Lord, that somewhere or another she could get the priorities in order. And God, that you'd bless her as she raised her children. Lord, I ask you today, dear Father, take control of the invitation. Help us, Lord. Help us, we pray. Some are praying. Let's stand together. We're going to have a verse of an invitation song.